So I want to start off by telling you about something that happened to a man named John Paulson. Does anyone know who John Paulson is? So John Paulson became famous because he bet against the U.S. housing market before the 2008 collapse. Yeah, that John. So John Paulson, he thought that the housing market was unstable, and so he put his money in the stock market, betting that the housing market would go down. And so, but everyone thought he was crazy. But when it happened, the housing market collapsed, John Paulson was having a really good day, while everyone else was having a really, really bad day. So when you hear the news of this housing market crisis, is that good news or bad news? It depends on who you are. And then, on the flip side, in 2009, he bet on the recovery, and then again, profited from the recovery. He didn't cause any of this. He just was in the right place at the right time. And this event that affected so many people was good news for him, while it was bad news for a lot of other people. Good news that the angels claim to be bringing. This word, gospel. I think we've talked about this before, that the word gospel was kind of a political word. When someone came back from battle, they reported the gospel, the good news of our victory. We have defeated the entire Persian army. That is good news, but not for the Persians. So when you hear the word gospel, it is a political word. It's good news for some. It's good news if they're on your team, if your team is winning. And delight that comes from this kind of good news is unstable. It's wishy-washy. It goes up and down if we're talking about the stock market. Joy that comes from these kinds of tidings of good news is conditional upon the maintenance of the status quo. You have to maintain things as they are if your joy is to remain joyful. It comes with the fear of being on the backside of someone else's good news announcement that is bad news for you. So the most famous line in the Christmas story is this verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The good news of God is for all people. Sometimes when I'm preparing for a sermon, I'll just walk circles around the island in the house. So I was doing that this week, and I was trying to come up with any kind of good news that would be good news for everyone. And it was really, really difficult. And I was going to do an exercise with you guys this morning where I wanted you to throw out to me things that you thought were good news for everybody, and then I was going to shoot it down. And then I remembered that this is a sermon about joy. So we're not going to do that. But just know that, like, almost any kind of news can be bad news for somebody. And it's really hard to think of something that would be good news for everyone. The closest that I could come up with was, what you need most can be found where you are. That was the closest that I could come up with that might be good news for everyone. What you need most, it can be found where you are. And think about what the angels are saying. They are announcing God with us. The theme for Advent this year, which we haven't told you, because it's not really something that we follow, but in the Christian tradition, the theme for Advent this year is Emmanuel. And that means God with us. The angels are announcing to the shepherds on the hillside, Jesus has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. On Christmas, God made God's home here with us. And if God is that source of joy, that thing can be that can be found wherever we are, God can be found with us right now. The Christmas story shows us that God comes to us in the most unexpected ways. And God can find you wherever you are. Like the lowly shepherds on the hillside in the dark in Judea, nobody was thinking about them that night. But God showed up. It reminds me of what Jesus was saying when the Pharisees asked him, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And he answered, "Look, here it is. The kingdom of God is in your midst." Emmanuel, God with us. But there's part of that we say, but this can't be it. What we are experiencing in the world, this can't be all of it. I can't be joyful because of, look at the circumstances, X, Y, Z. Feeling joy that comes from God's presence is not a denial of hardship and suffering. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, "I am full of sorrow, but yet rejoicing." The people of Israel, when they were slaves in Egypt and they were set free, they were wandering in the wilderness. And it was during this time in the wilderness that part of their culture became, even though we have nothing, God is with us. And there is joy in that. We can rejoice in that. They were not alone. And even though they were suffering, they could still find hope. Nehemiah, one of the prophets, he's the one that says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And he was living during a time where the Israelite people were the little guy, right? Everybody around them was intimidating and scary. But God could be trusted. Yes. The joy of the Lord was their strength. Yes. It was this trust in God that allowed them to feel joy. I learned this week that joy flourishes in an atmosphere of trust. Yes. There's a famous story from Paul's life that when he was in prison, he and his cellmates were singing. And they were able to have joy and sing in those circumstances because they trusted God. Yeah. They trusted that God would take care of them. And how can we be filled with joy even when fill in the blank is happening? It's because we allow our trust in our security in God to outweigh our current circumstances. Yeah. And that takes practice. That takes seeing other people able to do it. Sometimes we feel like we can't have joy or express joy because of other people's suffering. MLK Jr., there's a famous quote that he says that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. So I love to find scientific research that further explains these like kind of spiritual ideas as like these are actually like very beneficial. So this idea of having joy even in the midst of dark circumstances. I was researching this week and I was discovering how contagious emotions are. Good emotions and bad emotions. What was a little bit disappointing to find out is that bad emotions are more contagious than good emotions. But what was interesting to learn is why. The reason that bad emotions are more contagious than good emotions has to do with community, needing community. So we are more susceptible to the influence of negativity if we lack a support system. We are more susceptible to the influence of negativity if we feel disconnected or unsafe. So we are wired for survival. And if you're alone in the world, you are not safe. If we don't have a group, we are in trouble. We lack connection. And the reason that we fall victim to negative influences is because if you and I both don't like something, then you're on my team. Who's gonna be standing by me when everything falls apart? The person who also sees that everything is falling apart. Right? So this is a common thing with children and people who have experienced trauma or abuse, that when they are then in a safe environment, they will kind of sabotage that environment in order to see who sticks around. Who can I trust? And we do that. We're like, this is the worst situation possible. Who's in it with me? The struggle cements bonds. And we are susceptible to that because we don't have good communities. We don't have healthy, thriving communities where we can feel safe and experience trust. The thing that spirituality and God with us helps us cultivate is that even if I stand alone, God is with me. So you can cultivate that sense of safety even by yourself. That good, contagious feeling has to start somewhere. And that gift of Christmas is that God is with you and you can experience joy. There was a group of people who were studying at Harvard, and they were studying this emotional contagion. And they were trying to figure out what makes happy people. And they didn't really nail that down, but what they did find is that the happiest people were surrounded by happy people. And for every happy person that was added to the group, the chance of the innermost person being happy increased by 9%. Having a positive network of people brings joy and positivity and life to everyone around it. You can be that person for other people, and you should collect those people around you. Because there are things that block joy. There are things that no matter what good things are happening, we can't experience it. We can't feel it. And one of those that we've already mentioned is fear and not feeling safe. Another one of those things that we've talked about often is depression or chronic anxiety. Sometimes there's literally a chemical imbalance that you cannot experience these feelings of joy because your body is so anxious and so concerned and feels so unsafe. So if you're experiencing that kind of depression or anxiety, you should talk to your therapist or your doctor about that, because that can be something to work on. You know, that's, it can be helped. These moments of joy can be blocked out if we give in to fear. And we have to remember that light of Christmas, the God with us part. Yes. If we are able to experience any joy at all. So this may be kind of silly, but I have found this very helpful. And I want to share it with you. And it's about trying to switch off those things that block those negative emotions and get yourself prepared to feel joy. And so these are very practical, but I've found it very helpful. If you feel like you hate everyone, you should eat something. If you feel like everyone hates you, you should go to sleep. If you feel like you hate yourself, you should take a shower. And if you feel like everyone hates everyone, you should go outside. This has been very helpful in my life. That book that I was reading about, like, how emotions are created, a lot of it is our environment and our mental health. And so we have to take care of our bodies in order to be able to experience the joy in our life. So Christmas is a gift of joy because it makes our worst fears untrue. That fear that says that we are insignificant. God says, I see you. Yes. That fear that says none of this matters. God says, it matters so much, I want to participate in it with you. And that fear that says that we are alone, God says, I am with you. Yes. Christmas tells us that even in the loneliest, darkest hillside, God breaks into our world. Yes. You know those little Advent calendars that, like, have the chocolates in them?
Yes.
I always thought those were so silly. Like, Christmas should be its own reward. You shouldn't have to, like, bribe yourself every day with chocolates. And I think I was thinking of Lent, you know? Lent is about sacrifice and recognizing our mortality. And Advent is about finding God and recognizing the joy in every single day. So when you open the little door and it has the chocolate behind it, that is Christmas. Yeah. I'm going to get one of those next year. It's about finding joy in every day, finding God in the unexpected places. The angels told the shepherds and then sent them to go look and find it for themselves. The best definition I found of joy when I was looking it up was spontaneous delight. I love that. We have to cultivate in ourselves this place of trust and safety so that when we find these moments of joy, it can spontaneously delight us. And that is contagious to all of the people around us. The Advent calendars are good because they're a good practice of finding those little moments of joy every day. But I want us to remember during this Christmas season that God is with us and we are safe in that and we are not alone. And that is the source of joy in our lives. Let's pray.